Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Jamie.
In this audio essay for Ecologies of Movement...
Wait a second, Jamie. I think we should clarify something before we begin. This Ecologies of Movement audio essay was written by Ultranesia, and it's about their deep time research on musical mutations.
Ultranesia is Ruben Cole and José Luis Espejo, but that's not who we are.
Nope. They've asked us to speak on their behalf, since their English is a bit broken and they have a Spanish accent.
Hey, a bit of respect. Shut up!
So as we were saying, this audio essay is about deep time research on musical mutations.
It's not that they pronounce things wrong, you guys. Our pronunciation is just a bit clearer.
Anyways, José Luis Espejo and Ruben Cole are dedicated to deep time research, and they're currently focusing on musical mutations.
We could summarize what they've been working on in an abstract using five keywords.
Or with five terms from the UNESCO thesaurus if we were to put our minds to it.
But this isn't an academic article or a lecture performance either.
That would be the last straw.
We'll let you get to know the subject at your own pace, and we'll tell you an archaeophy story based on real events.
By archaeophy, we mean archaeological fiction. So the characters and events mentioned aren't made up. However, any resemblance to real people, living or dead, may or may not be purely coincidental.
Since 2022, Ultranesia's research has focused on musical mutations and the material conditions of music in a deep time study of the trade winds. They began their research by studying music as a way of transmitting knowledge.
Since then, they've had to research a wide variety of sources, including books, articles, the press, records, of course, and concerts, as well as films, documentaries, online videos, and so on.
And over all these years, they've been trying to finish an essay about musical mutations that's already 30 pages long.
But researching while working a day job, as you might know, leaves little time for writing. Maybe, by the time you're listening to this audio, that essay will be finished. It's called Se Siente Rodar el Viento.
So why Ultranesia? Well, there's Macronesia, where the Canary Islands are. There's Micronesia, Polynesia, and Melanesia in the Pacific. And then there's Ultranesia, the archipelago beyond all others.
Let's make sure to distinguish between the prefix ultra and the motto plus ultra on the coat of arms of the Kingdom of Spain.
Whether we like it or not, Spain is actually a kingdom, with not one, but two kings in 2024, along with a queen, a princess, and their court.
The motto plus ultra in Latin means further beyond. On the coat of arms of the Spanish flag, this phrase can be seen around two columns that represent the Pillars of Hercules, the ancient name for the Strait of Gibraltar. The Kingdom of Spain is very proud of its colonial past, which is why further beyond plus ultra appears on its flag, referring to the Hispanic dominions beyond the Strait of Gibraltar, the colonies, in other words.
Past the Pillars of Hercules, the conquistador Alonso Fernández de Lugo invaded the Canary Islands in 1402, and from there, Christopher Columbus, carried by the trade winds, reached the West Indies by a fluke.
And since then, there's been no turning back. So, let's start our story with a question, or a hypothesis.
What would have happened if Columbus's caravels had listened to the song Chicho Sánchez Ferlosio dedicated to them? Ferlosio was a Spanish anti-authoritarian troubadour who wrote and sang A Contratiempo, which can be translated as going backwards. In the song, he urges the caravels to turn the helm and face the morning, retracing their route.
To answer that, let's talk about winds, ocean currents, and sand.
The trade winds are very important to modern culture, and they've been blowing since who knows when. They precede and transcend human history. They are a meteorological and geological force. To understand them, we need to use a different time scale in which human existence is just a comma.
So let's start from that comma. In May 2022, Espejo was in Arenas Blancas, a small beach on the island of El Hierro. It was a cloudy day, and at the foot of the huge volcanic mountains, he saw a layer of fine white sand under his sneakers. In this small corner of the island, he observed, the trade winds don't collide with the mountains, but sweep over the island, leaving this white sand from the Sahara. He immediately phoned Ruben to tell him all about it.
The trade winds, as we were saying, blow regularly from east to west across the surface above sea level. They are the meteorological force that carried the ships of plunderers and slavers.
The admiral, Maurice Ramon de Brossard, noted in his Maritime History of the World, "To return to the huge greenish and indigo swells, and to the trade winds of the great oceanic sequence, to the choppy, gray, and yellowish seas, actions of world importance that define an orientation leading hopelessly to the present time."
The trade winds in the Gulf Stream guided galleons full of gold and silver from the mines of Potosí to Seville, Spain.
They were also loaded with people who were enslaved and transported against their will from the coasts of Africa to the so-called West Indies.
Vessels still sail from West Africa to El Hierro today, giving rise to the Northwest African Atlantic route, which some boats travel on to try to reach El Hierro from the coasts of Mauritania or Senegal without being intercepted, undertaking dangerous crossings of up to 10 days.
Have reached the Canary Islands in the past 24 hours. It's become a primary destination for migrants attempted to reach Spain, which has seen a sharp increase in migrants' crossings from Senegal and other African countries this year.
Crossings where there's no mobile phone coverage, unlike routes to other islands of the Canarian archipelago, like Fuerteventura and Lanzarote, so it's impossible to make distress calls. As a result, some of the boats go adrift and are dragged towards the Caribbean. Senegalese-born musician Baba Si, also known as Passaporte Man, and a member of the African descent collective Joko, based in Barcelona, referenced a tragedy that so many people from migrating communities have suffered on these journeys during his performance with his partner Embo at the 2020 Archipelago Festival.
Archipelago, the music festival?
Yeah. Archipelago was a music festival that Espejo and Ruben curated from 2017 to 2023.
In fact, most of the music you'll hear in this audio essay comes from artists that performed at Archipelago.
At Archipelago, Baba Si recited a piece called Water Cemetery in Wolof, his mother tongue.
My father dreamed that I was going to the sea. My mother dreamed that I was going to the sea. My brother dreamed that I was going to the sea. My sister dreamed that I was going to the sea. What they didn't know, was that it was a water cemetery, a water graveyard. My grandparents went there. My parents went there. My brothers and my sisters passed through there. They went past me there by force. Now we go there for an illegal dream. Water graveyard. Water graveyard. The water cemetery, a path underwater, paved with black bodies. The trade winds aren't the only natural phenomenon linked to colonial expansion and enslavement. There was also the Manila Galleon route, which connected Manila to Acapulco and back. The Manila Galleon was driven by the Corusio Current. Under Spanish rule in the Philippines, the Tagalog people became part of the Spanish haciendas. They were forced to crew cargo ships because they knew how to sail and didn't get seasick.
It's very easy for unscrupulous owners to slip out of the boundaries of law and justice. And the reason they can do that is because of flag.
And they still do so today. Practically all the ships of the major Norwegian shipping companies sail under the Philippine flag, and their crew members are some of the lowest paid in the world.
Filipinos account for 40% of the sea shipping workforce. At sea, they earn 5 or 6 times more than in their country.
I can find job in the Philippines, but the salary is $100 per month.
What we shouldn't forget is that some of these colonial routes are the maritime trade routes still used today. The Suez Canal, built by the British Empire when it ruled the seas, is still one of the busiest shipping lanes on the planet. Cobalt for rechargeable batteries, copper for electrical cables, and titanium for loudspeakers all pass through this route.
It's clear that colonial routes overlap with today's maritime trade routes. What's even more interesting and less obvious is that these colonial routes also coincide with the paths of the undersea cables that power the internet.
The internet of platform capitalism. Information travels along these silicon cables, both the data that's encoded into music and the data that's decoded into information about our emotions, which platforms use to generate massive profits.
Cables are made of silicon, and silicon dioxide is the main component of sand. Sand like that of arenas blancas.
The reality is that if stone-paved roads were the backbone of the Roman Empire, then the maritime network of silicon cables is, quite literally, the cybernetic backbone of the United States Empire.
On the 11th of October, 2018, WikiLeaks published a report called Amazon Atlas. At the time, the company Amazon Web Services had data centers in 9 countries, which were not always aligned with its interests. The United States, Ireland, Luxembourg, Germany, China, Japan, Singapore, Australia, and Brazil. In addition, Amazon had a $600 million contract with the CIA and a $10 billion contract with the U.S. Department of Defense. And as Sir Walter Raleigh, the sailor, corsair, writer, courtier, English pirate, and politician, who popularized tobacco in Europe in the 16th century, once said, "Whoever commands the sea commands the trade. Whoever commands the trade of the world commands the riches of the world, and consequently the world itself."
But listen, let's go back in time for a moment. Columbus's second transatlantic voyage set sail from El Hierro in 1493. By then, Christopher was already familiar with the trade winds, and in El Hierro is a coastal area called Mar de las Calmas, located between La Restinga and the Punta Orchia lighthouse.
Legend has it that in 1546, there was a ship in this area waiting for better winds and for the trade winds to pick up. They waited for so long that they ran out of provisions. So the local shepherds brought them food, and in return, the sailors gave them a carving of the Virgin. In 1643, there was a severe drought, and the shepherds prayed to the Virgin. It finally rained, and ever since then, they performed a ritual dance of thanksgiving. Incidentally, in 2022, Espejo sent Ruben a video he took with his cobalt battery smartphone of the Brotherhood of La Virgen de Valverde, rehearsing that very dance in the church square of the town in Oviedo. Ruben sent him a message back, saying that the music sounded like a North African rhythm.
And it does. Biomed Central, an English for-profit agency, published a demographic history of the Canarian male gene pool in 2009. The study found Amazigh ancestry in the Y chromosome DNA extracted from the mortal remains of those considered to be the indigenous inhabitants of the Canary Islands. On El Hierro, they were called Bimbaches. When the Frenchman, Jean de Bethencourt, arrived there in 1405, he promised to let the Bembaches go free. But he later enslaved them and sold off almost the entire population.
So it's possible that the rhythmic pattern Ruben identified in the video Espejo took could be sonic evidence of Amazigh heritage on the island.
Oh, that's what they say.
To be clear, the Amazighan, the plural of Amazigh, prefer not to be called Berbers, as they are often referred to. The term Berber comes from the Greek word barbaros, and its literal translation is he who babbles. It was used to refer to all those who didn't speak Greek and were therefore considered barbarians. And the term was also a synonym for less civilized or primitive.
The truth is that the so-called civilizing role of the Greeks, which is often upheld today by European right-wing ideology as a precursor to the Spanish viceroyalties in America, entailed the wholesale colonization and displacement of existing cultures.
That's right.
Well, from what Ultranasia has been studying about longitudinal mutations from east to west across North Africa, the data shows that the people of the Canary Islands came from North Africa. Therefore, the music of El Hierro represents a deep time musical mutation.
Perhaps we should briefly explain what Rubén and Espejo mean by musical mutation and deep time. By mutation, they're referring to a change that doesn't alter the main body of the music. Does that make sense?
I think so. It's how culture is understood in many parts of the world. In Japan, they rebuild wooden temples piece by piece, but the temple remains the same. Well, in Iran, the musical tradition is constantly evolving. It's a living, dynamic process. This has nothing to do with the nationalist inventions that Eric Hobsbawm described, as mutations are instead a constant compulsion to change.
And then there's the question of deep time. The media theorist Siegfried Zielinski borrowed this concept from James Hutton, a geologist who published several volumes entitled Theory of the Earth between 1778 and 1795.
Yeah, and more recently, Jussi Parikka revisited the concept to talk about media geology.
Why?
Because geological movements are too slow for our scale of perception. To grasp these changes, we need to think in terms of very broad, or rather, very deep temporalities.
Like Dr. Manhattan in the comic book Watchmen? A character who, after losing all faith in humanity, goes to Mars and perceives geological processes beyond any human comprehension.
So you don't come back to Earth?
At some point, yes. The streets are filled with death.
John, please. You have to stop this. Everyone will die.
And the universe will not even notice. In my opinion, the existence of life is a highly overrated phenomenon. Just look around you. Mars gets along perfectly well without so much as a microorganism. Here it's a constantly changing topographical map, flowing and shifting around the pole in ripples 10,000 years wide. So tell me, how would all of this be greatly improved by an oil pipeline, by a shopping mall?
That's a great example.
Or like Carl Sagan's Cosmic Calendar, where all history since the Big Bang is condensed into 12 months. And in that calendar, the history of humanity takes up just a few seconds.
The Cosmic Calendar compresses the local history of the universe into a single year. If the universe began on January 1st, it was not until May that the Milky Way formed. Other planetary systems may have appeared in June, July and August, but our sun and Earth not until mid-September. Life arose soon after. Everything humans have ever done occurred in that bright speck at the lower right of the cosmic calendar. The Big Bang is at upper left in the first second of January 1st. 15 billion years later is our present time, the last second of December 31st.
Yeah, although in a strictly material sense, that would represent an extremely deep time, tracing back to the known material origins of time itself.
So, getting back to our main subject.
Yeah, let's focus.
We have a musical mutation in deep time. The rhythmic pattern, as sonic evidence of Amazigh heritage on the island of El Hierro, supported by the 2009 DNA study by the English agency Biomed Central.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
While Ruben and Espejo did the research that laid the groundwork for Archipelago year after year, they noticed a trade flow from Persia to North Africa that brought musical instruments and the materials to make them along the Silk Road.
Do you mean like the Egyptian czar? Czar is a possession ritual where ecstatic music plays a central role, which is the kind of music performed by the contemporary ensemble from Cairo, Mazahir. This ensemble is devoted to preserving this tradition and uses instruments of Persian origin.
That's right. And Mazahir performed at Archipelago in 2022.
Another interesting detail is that the sound from a czar ceremony, like those performed by the Mazahir, was recorded on magnetic wire and used as the basis for what is considered to be the first electroacoustic piece in history. It was produced in a radio studio in Cairo in 1944 by Halim El-Dab, 4 years before Pierre Schaeffer did similar sound experiments in France. The czar is the ritual music of the brotherhoods of enslaved people who practice possession rites. The members of these brotherhoods claim to be descended from Bilal, the first Abyssinian or Ethiopian who converted to Islam.
Yeah, czar music is a great example. And another one is nawa, a genre of ecstatic ritual music from Morocco that's been revitalized in recent times thanks to a new generation of practitioners like Asma Amzawi and the Daughters of Timbuktu, a female ensemble from Casablanca that also performed at Archipelago in 2019.
Besides czar and nawa, other music genres linked to ceremonies and trance states that come to mind are the Diwan or Balali of Algeria, the Stambali of Tunisia, and the Sambali of Fezzan in Libya.
This longitudinal movement from east to west coincides in space but not in time with the forced migrations of the Western slave trade in the 19th century. In their journeys, the enslaved carried memories of trance music with them. They migrated with their music from Ethiopia to the Red Sea, and then along the Nile to the port of Alexandria towards the Pillars of Hercules.
So the Amazigh, known as the Mashawash in the ancient Egyptian Empire, the Libyans in the Greek Empire, and the Numidians in the Roman Empire, were in West Africa and its islands long before the Arabs and the Europeans.
El Hierro can also teach us a lot about historical geography. On the map of Acadius of Miletus from the 5th century BCE, the Pillars of Hercules are depicted.
Yes, and according to Claudius Ptolemy, the prime meridian could be found west of the Fortunate Isles, that is to say, of the Canary Islands. And since El Hierro is the westernmost of these islands, this is where the first Prime Meridian was assumed to be located.
That's right. And it remained the Prime Meridian from 150 CE until 1883.
Why did it change?
For several reasons that were all related to industrial modernity. Around 1767, the astronomer and reverend Neville Maskelyne began publishing the Nautical Almanac. Maskelyne based his measurements on observations from the Greenwich Observatory, which had been established in 1675.
Exactly. And then in 1883, the French and the English debated whether measuring the planet's longitude using a chronometer or the lunar distance method was better. The latter method won out, and they began using it to determine the longitude of a place.
And the very next year, at the International Meridian Conference in Washington in 1884, 26 nations agreed, after much heated debate, to make Greenwich the prime meridian. But up until then, El Hierro had been the center of the world.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it the center. And the West is a relative category. The concept of centrality is something that the thought of Edouard Glissant would certainly challenge. We'd be better off with the idea of a center altogether, because the notion of a center is what creates peripheries.
But if we think about the perspective of deep time, El Hierro possessed a certain geographical centrality from Mediterranean antiquity to European modernity. For almost two millennia, El Hierro was the measure of the West, and it seems no coincidence that it was the westernmost point, where musical mutations carried by the trade winds, the transport of materials from the so-called Far East along the Silk Road, and the forced displacement of people across North Africa all converged.
Precisely. That's exactly why Rubén and Espejo chose El Hierro as a starting point for recounting how the official history of musical experimentalism, mainly written in English and French, doesn't quite add up when viewed from other geographical perspectives.
Right. And it turns out that by listening carefully to a small island in the Macronesian archipelago, we can see that the musical narratives from the British Isles and the European mainland aren't the only ones that matter.
Exactly. El Hierro preserves a living sound that proves that the geography of music is very different from what the British press and U.S. academia have tried to define it as.
For better or worse, the press continues to dictate to a certain extent taste, visibility, and even the fees of the people who dedicate themselves to the experimental music scene.
And don't get us wrong. These days, now that the American music website Pitchfork has become a section of the men's magazine GQ, and the web radio NTS has been bought by Universal, the British magazine The Wire is one of the few remaining bastions of true music journalism.
Totally. No question about it. So what happened was, to tell this story, Ultranesia have had to look beyond the traditional music press. But that doesn't mean that the music press isn't important. It's just that it's under severe threat from the rise of digital platforms.
In fact, the British press itself must have felt the earth tremble as it realized that the era of Western dominance is coming to an end. The London-based magazine The Wire chose I, by Colombian artist Lucrecia Dalt, as the best album of 2022, an album that's notable for its departure from Eurocentric rhythmic patterns.
Thank you.
In an interview Ruben did with Lucrecia Dalt in 2020, she remarked,
Sí, absolutamente. O sea, y cada vez lo veo más claro. Antes había más como una negación, ¿no? Alrededor.
I used to be more in denial.
Esto es, ¿sabes? Es como mi... Tiene que ver más como con eso.
I didn't fully recognize how something like popular rhythms could affect my music.
Sí, o sea, como que no era tan consciente que algo así como ritmos tan populares podrían afectar, pero sí.
But yeah, I became more aware of this when I started to work with rhythms in a different way.
Cuando empecé a trabajar ritmo de una manera que dije, bueno, quiero como...
I aim to capture the essence of things I remember really loving, like clave, salsa rhythms or bolero rhythms, things like that.
Ritmos de salsa o de bolero, de cosas así que tienes como una sensación...
That feeling or an abstraction of the rhythm. How do I bring that to my work and my instruments?
Y es como, ¿cómo traigo eso a lo mío? Con mis instrumentos.
And why does the West find it so difficult to acknowledge so-called Latin rhythms, for example, as a form of experimentalism?
As the French composer Jean-Claude Rollat wrote in 1995, the West is incapable of acknowledging the possible universality of acoustic identities other than its own. And the avant-garde hasn't excluded anything that doesn't conform to its own language.
But that's tricky, isn't it?
For sure. Elois himself pointed out how the French composer Claude Debussy drew harmonic, modal, and rhythmic elements from the music of the Javanese gamelan he heard in Paris as part of the 1889 World's Fair, the same fair where Indonesians were shown in a human zoo, then called an ethnographic exhibition. The Russian composer Arseny Arimov also integrated the five-tone scale of the gamelan into his work.
And this didn't end in the first half of the 20th century. Elois also noted that the German composer Karlheinz Stockhausen, the Hungarian-born Austrian Giorgi Dolgeti, and the Greek-born Frenchman Yannis Xenakis all expressed an interest in the music of India, Japan, Indonesia, and Africa. American composers like Terry Riley, Lamonte Young, and the Swede Catherine Krister Henix studied with the Indian master Pran Nath at Mills College in the 1970s. The French woman, Eliane Radic, premiered a composition there that was deeply influenced by Buddhist philosophy. And Radic herself, together with Catherine Krister Henix, used their knowledge of the Indian raga in a structural way.
So does that mean that all European and American experimentalism is just a recomposition of music from other countries?
I don't know. But if we shift our focus back to El Hierro, in Amazigh migration specifically, it's kind of difficult to accept the notion of modern Western autonomy given its dark colonial side. And El Hierro isn't the only place where musical mutations in deep time have been shaped by material conditions and migratory routes. A first century Greco-Roman text called Periplus of the Erythraean Sea, attributed to Lucius Flavius Arrianus, describes the trade routes through the Red Sea, East Africa, and the Indian Ocean. The logbook mentions Rapta, which is present-day Tanzania. It's thought that the transatlantic slave ships may have begun their voyages from there.
Of course. We were saying that the rhythms of El Hierro came from North Africa, from the Amazigh population that originally came from Ethiopia. But how did these rhythms get to Ethiopia in the first place? If we dig deeper into the history of migrations, we find that in the Iron Age, a Bantu migration started from what is now Mali towards the lands of East Africa. These people reached Tanzania, a region long considered the cradle of humanity and the point of origin of all migrations themselves. Once there, the Bantus wiped out the original inhabitants and spread their language and culture.
Today, the Bantu are an ethno-linguistic grouping of approximately 400 distinct groups speaking roughly 600 languages. And it's estimated that there are 350 million Bantu speakers, with about 60 million in the Democratic Republic of Congo alone.
The Congo is also a place where we can really understand musical mutations, both in deep time and from a perspective of radical materialism.
Totally. The Congo supplies the cobalt needed for rechargeable batteries, used in all the devices and vehicles Europe relies on for its greenwashing initiatives. Recently, all this cobalt has been exported through the port of Mombasa in Kenya, which was built by Chinese companies, and is one of the driving forces behind East Africa's economic engine.
The port of Mombasa was built by Chinese companies, the same companies that built the roads from Kenya to Uganda. And Kampala, the Ugandan capital, is where the Nyege Nyege Music Festival takes place, which has introduced us to fast-paced genres like the Malian Balani Show and the Tanzanian Singeli, which we're currently listening to thanks to DJ Travella. Nyege Nyege does a great job at producing and promoting in a way that lets local artists maintain their musical identity and tour internationally while avoiding obstacles at European borders.
Yes, and since 2021, Nyege Nyege artists have been celebrated as the most cutting-edge musicians at major private festivals. They've played at some of the biggest Spanish music festivals like Sonar and Primavera Sound, for example, but for at least 8 years, they've also appeared at semi-public festivals with European funding. CTM in Berlin, Le Guess Who in Utrecht, and the previously mentioned Archipelago Festival in Madrid. CTM, in partnership with the Goethe Institute, has provided a lot of support to these musicians. The Goethe Institute isn't just exporting Germanic values anymore. Instead, it enriches the CTM Festival with new foreign music for this superlatively fatigued experimental scene.
Getting back to deep time, there's another migration that can help us keep El Hierro on the map. It's the pilgrimage to Mecca that Mansa Musa made in 1324, the emperor of the Mali Empire, and possibly the wealthiest person in history. His immense fortune likely came from the slave, ivory, and spice trade. It's believed that one of the few existing images of Mansa Musa can be found in Abraham Crescas's Catalan Atlas from 1375.
And if you look closely at one of its maps, you'll see that the Tramontana-Mezzodi line, which runs from north to south, passes through the Insula de los Ferro, or the island of El Hierro. So we're looking at Claudius Ptolemy's prime meridian again, the one that passes to the west of the westernmost island of the Canary Archipelago, or the Fortunate Isles, as Pliny the Elder called them when he recounted the voyage of Juba II, king of Mauritania, to the Isles in 40 BCE.
So imagine if Columbus's caravels had never sailed west. Imagine if they hadn't made the world go round, as Ptolemy decreed, so that it would keep on going round from the same point, the same place.
Imagine if the caravels had put away the map and sailed back east, returning to the dockyard. Imagine if they had been scrapped by the shipowners and on a day of pilgrimage were taken up to the mountains of Sierra de Gata to grow like pines and firs. Imagine them growing leaves and resin, mocking the winds. For there, the air smells of life. You can feel the sky turning. And on summer nights, you can hear sighs and kisses.
I tried to imagine it, but I guess we'll never know.
So, let's try to figure it out while listening to Chicho Sanchez Ferlosio singing A Contratiempo, Caraveles de Colón.
Caravelas de Colón, todavía estáis a tiempo. Antes que el día os coja, virad en redondo presto, presto. Tirad de escotas y velas, pegadle al timón un vuelco y de cara a la mañana desandad del derrotero. Atrás, a contratiempo. Mirad que ya os lo aviso, mirad que os lo prevengo, que vais a dar con un mundo que se llama el mundo nuevo. Que va a hacer redondo el mundo como manda Ptolomeo, para que siga girando desde lo mismo a lo mismo. Atrás, a contratiempo. Por delante de la costa cuelga un muro de silencio. Si lo rompéis chocaréis con terremotos de hierro, hierro. Agua irisada de grasas y rompeolas de huesos, de fruta de cabecitas, veréis los árboles llenos. Atrás, a contratiempo. A orza palomas, huid a vela y a remo. El mundo que vais a hacer, más os valiera no verlo, verlo. Hay montes de cartón piedra, ríos calientes de sebo, arañas de 20 codos y hierpes que vomitan fuego. Atrás, a contratiempo. Llueve azufre y llueve tinta sobre selvas de cemento. Chillan colgadas en jaulas, crías de monos sin pelo, pelo. Los indios pata de goma, acorazados de acero, por caminos de betún, ruedan rápidos y serios. Atrás, a contratiempo. Por las calles trepidantes ruge el león del desierto. Por bóvedas de luz blanca revuelan pájaros ciegos. Hay un plátano gigante en medio del cementerio que echa por hojas papeles marcados de cifra y sello. Atrás, a contratiempo. sobre pirámides rotas alzan altares de hielo y adoran a un dios de plomo con dientes de oro negro, negro. Con sacrificios humanos aplacan al dios del miedo, corazoncitos azules sacan vivos de los pechos. Atrás, a contratiempo, trazan a tiros los barrios, a escuadra parten los pueblos. Se juntan para estar solos, se mueven para estar quietos, quietos. Al avanzar a la muerte, allí lo llaman progreso, por túneles y cañones sopla enloquecido el tiempo. Atrás, a contratiempo. Por eso, carabelitas, oíd si podéis consejo. No hagáis historia que solo lo que está escrito está hecho, hecho. Con rumbo al sol que os nace y del mapa recogiendo por el mar de los sargazos, tornada a palos el puerto. Atrás, a contratiempo. Monjitas arrepentidas, entrad en el astillero. Os desguacen armadores, os coman salitre y muergos, muergos. Dormid de velas caídas al son de los salineros y un día de peregrinas id a la sierra subiendo. Atrás, a contratiempo. Volved en Sierra de Gata a crecer pinos y abetos, criar hojas y resina y hacerle burla a los vientos, vientos. Allí el aire huele a vida, se siente rodar el cielo y en las noches de verano cantan grillos y jilgueros. Atrás, a contratiempo.
So how was that?
Pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah, listening to yourself in English is fascinating.
Well, technically you're listening to us.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
It's okay, no worries.
But are you guys happy with it, or do you think we have to do another take?
No, it's fine.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
No problem.
Musical Mutations was research written and produced by Ruben Cole and José Luis Espejo.
And presented by Sarah Pilar Jacobucci and Jamie Weiss.